What is up, guys? Welcome back to episode 116, I think it is now, of the Rip City Rundown podcast. We've got a lottery reaction for you today. And, I mean, could you say it could have gone any worse? I mean, 7-14 for the Blazers. They drop from, what did they have, the fourth best odds. They now get 7. They do, in fact, do get Golden State's pick. At least Golden State didn't hop into the top four. I mean, some could argue you wanted it to hop in the top four, but that's besides the point. We've got 7-14 in the 2024 draft class, obviously viewed as a weaker draft class. So some could argue if you're going to have a 7 in a class, this is the class to have 7. But we're going to miss out on a guy like Alex Saar, and I think that's the only guy that's guaranteed we're going to miss out on, because this draft could go any way possible. There's a lot to discuss. What was your reaction? I mean, we were at a golf tournament yesterday, so yeah. We weren't really watching the lottery that closely.
Yeah, you were. I forgot what we were doing, but you were just like, watch the Blazers get 7 right here, and then all of a sudden, the dude goes, the Portland Trailblazers. And yeah, I mean, in terms of where we're picking, I would agree. I don't think it could have gone much worse. I think the fact that the Hawks had the first pick is crazy. A play-in team gets the first overall pick. But then the second part that you said, I think, is the more important part, which is, I mean, this draft is, I think Saar is going to go 1. I mean, I think that's guaranteed. And by the way, Saar is not some guaranteed home run prospect either. He's just I don't want to say he's like the least bad, but he's just like the I guess, highest floor. I don't know.
He's just the most got the most potential, you could say.
Yeah, I mean,
most tools.
Yeah, he's probably the best prospect. Doesn't mean he's going to be the best player, obviously. There's not a home run pick here. But following that, literally 2 through 10 could go any direction. I was looking at mock drafts this morning, even late last night. And you have like Klingon going 2, Klingon going 12. You have Reese Auchere going 2, Reese Auchere going 7 to us, which I would be like, sweet. I mean, it's just, I think what you're going to see with this draft is, because there's not this clear, two things are going to happen. One is, it's going to be fun to watch because you actually aren't going to know what's going on. It's not like 1, 2, 3 is obvious and then, oh, this guy, they're going to go 4. Like, it's not like past drafts. It's actually going to be fun to watch as a fan. And then for teams, I think it's literally just going to be based on positional need. And so I think the Blazers at 7 are in an interesting spot where I think there's not a lot of pressure for their rookie, whoever we pick at 7, to be this guy that's going to fast track the rebuild. He's going to be our fast pass, that's just not going to be the case, which is good. You want him to not have any stress or unnecessary expectations. And 2, I think the Blazers front office can simply there's not any pressure to, we have to take this guy at 2, even though he's a guard, for example. Mm-hmm. We can talk about who it actually is going to be, but I think the positional fit for the Blazers is the most important, along with other teams. So the Blazers can kind of react, see what's going to happen. Of course, that the naysayers will say, well, now you're just putting your decision in the hands of 6 other teams, which is true. But I don't know. The Blazers, I think, are in a fine spot. Like you said, if your luck's going to be ass, if you're going to get shafted in the lottery, then it might as well be this year.
Yeah, I think the most disappointing thing is you win 21 games. You had 21-61, I think, were the Blazers.
I think it was, because we took under 21.5.
Yeah, we did at that.
The March
All-Star break. All-Star break pod, but 21 wins and you get the 7th pick. I mean,
it's fine.
If we want to talk about bad luck, you can look at Detroit, who's dropped from 1 to 5 in 2 straight drafts, one with Wimby, and then this year. But I think the most disappointment you see from the organization is, like, at the end of the day, with this rebuild you're going through, like, the state of the NBA with rebuilds is you're kind of just putting your future in the hands of just some ping pong balls. I know that's easy to say, but, like, until we get that proven star again, it's like, this is kind of how it's going to be. Like, I just need one of our guys to come out and be that guy. So I don't want to have to worry about this for three more years being like, the biggest day of the year is in the middle of May and it comes down to some ping pong balls. Like, yeah. it's just the reality of a rebuild. But I think the frustration and just today showed, like, last year we jumped. So we weren't like, oh my gosh, the lottery sucked. We're like, oh, the lottery's great. This year just proves that the lottery can go any way and just can screw you in any way they want to.
Yes. Atlanta won 36 games.
Yeah.
And got the number one overall pick. But that's NBA wants to discourage tanking. And so it's fine. It's fine to me. And I think, again, like this draft, I just think that the seventh pick has the same chance as the second pick to be great. Like, this isn't like past drafts. Like, this is really going to be like, who does your homework? Who is the best scout? I mean, we have a good one.
Argue that's Mike Schmitz. You got to hope it's Mike Schmitz.
Apparently, but like, imagine we pick like two and we take, I don't know, Klingon or something. And he's just all of a sudden, like, he does the Greg Oden thing. Like,
yeah.
I guess
the way you can look at it is with getting seven, like you said, you put less pressure on a rookie. You also like lower the chances of like, oh, if we miss on this pick, it's not going to be viewed as a bust.
It's also
It is cheaper too, but guys. I think even at this point, the Blazers shouldn't be worrying about money. I think the scariest thing is you're putting your future in the hands of six other teams. Like, that sucks. Like, I think this is a draft where I'm almost like talking out of two sides of my mouth, because it's one on one side. You're like, oh, it's okay because the seventh pick, this is a draft that isn't that good. It's okay to have that pick. Like, if you're going to have a bad pick, it's this draft. But on the other hand, this is a draft where you probably are only going to like two or three guys. So you want to get them while you can get them. Like,
I agree.
That's why I could very possibly see us trading up, because I think this could be a draft where we have our sights on one guy and we have to get that guy.
Yeah, I think if you look at the teams ahead of us, here's why I'm going to put a positive spin on this is now you have seven, okay? Okay, cool. Seven is kind of a cool, I think seven's a good spot, and I'm arguing for it. Of course, I'd rather have two, obviously. But the thing that maybe seven does is, okay, does someone who was supposed to go top five fall into our lap because, oh, wow, the Spurs picked a guard. And, oh, my gosh, the Pistons picked Rob Dillingham. Like, we don't want Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepard, or Topic. And those three could go off before seven.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly, what I was going to say is a guy could drop to seven, or because this draft's so wide open, Joe Cronin is not – like, Cody Williams is supposed to go 10. If we take him at 7, I don't think people are going to be like, oh, what a reach, because there's, like, no way to differentiate these guys. So I think positional fit – I think 7 is this interesting spot where it's, like, you're going to have a guy that falls. Is it going to be the big, or is it going to be the guard? And again, I don't care if we pick 2, 7, 12. I don't care. Just don't pick a guard. Just don't pick a guard.
I think where I'm at is the two guys that I would want the most – realistically, I don't think I'm not putting Risa Shea in there.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about him, and
I'll tell you, he's like 20 and he is really versatile.
He great can shoot. I saw he can like shoot the ball, but I also saw like he definitely had his inconsistencies. He's very raw. I mean,
I think
a theme of this entire draft is it's all just raw prospects. Like,
yeah,
I think you don't know what you're getting out of Dillingham. He played 1 year in college and he played at OTE before that. You're not knowing, like, you really don't know what you're getting out of Sarr. Like, there's no, like you said, surefire guaranteed prospect. But yeah. What I'm going to do before I go into this, the two guys that I think I am most high on right now for the seventh pick would probably be Cody Williams and Ron Holland. They provide positional value for us, and I think Cody Williams has the measurables and he's probably a little more potential shooting the ball wise. Whereas Ron Holland could be an all-defense guy in the future. But that's besides the point. I'm going to go through the teams that are in front of us, and I want you to say, are they more likely to take a guard big forward. Yep. However you say. Hawks, one.
The Hawks are going to take Sarr, so.
Think they go Sarr, okay. Washington. I feel like this is a team that could go any way possible.
I think Washington is going to go... I think they're either going to go guard or center.
Guard or center, okay.
I think they're going to take... I don't know. They got rid of Gafford. They need some... I mean, do they think Kuzma's the answer? They definitely... I think they believe in Kuzma over JP. I mean, they could... That could be a Rob Dillingham or Reed Shepard team.
Yeah, I really think that's one of those teams that could quite possibly go anyway. Okay, Houston. I think this is where you're probably going to get...
I think you go guard.
I think a Reed Shepard to Houston is something that would fit pretty well, because I think they just... You got to think their last couple picks. I mean, they took Jalen Green, but...
I mean, they have Jabari Smith and
Sengun. Jabari Smith and Sengun. I saw people say you could argue for a big, but I don't think I see... I mean, you could argue wing, but they also have like Tari Eason. They got Cam Whitmore. They've kind of got a lot of pieces there that they could go anyway. I don't think they go a big, though. San Antonio, I think that's a guaranteed guard.
Yeah, you got to get something next to Wimby, I think.
Detroit... Who knows? I mean, that could be wing. I think probably wing's most likely. I mean, Cade and Jaden Ivey are your two centerpieces along with Duren.
Yeah, I could see a wing there.
But they could also go any possible way. Yeah, and Charlotte, I think is guard.
Charlotte's guard.
So with that being said, if that was the case, we look at San Antonio and Charlotte are probably guards. Brooklyn, Washington could go any way. So you have Sarr coming off at one. Just for the sake of the argument, you got Topic and Shepard coming off somewhere in there. You've got...
I think Dillingham's gone before seven.
Let me look at this. Let me look at the big board one more time. Probably Castle. I bet Castle's off before seven.
I really think that... I think if... Well, say if Reese Auchere is there at seven, you absolutely take him. Although I've seen people and I've seen Blazer fans say that Rupaire is better. I'm like... Yeah, he might be. I mean, who knows with these guys? They're so young.
Of course, we're obviously going to do more in-depth look-ins to all these guys in the future. I mean, we're still a month away from the draft. Still a lot to talk about. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm an expert on Reese Auchere or I'm an expert on Haaland. This is kind of just initial reactions, the way I'm feeling. But the more we're talking about it, I do think, like, just given the fact that there isn't one guy that I'm looking at, I'm like, I really want him on my team. I'm really cool with just basically, I'm cool with this one position. I want a position. I want the small forward, or I guess theoretically a power forward. So I think there's going to be plenty of options for that. The second pick, who knows what we do with that? Like, I think that could just be a swing for the fences, like go get a big or something.
I'll tell you, if 14 is, I've seen Filipowski, no thank you. I've seen Jacoby Walter, which again is just like...
It's just a score.
Redundancies. I'd like a big there.
I've seen a lot of people have another French small forward, Saloon.
Oh yeah, people like him. Again, I feel like people get caught up in the measurables.
Probably.
I think. And by people, I mean the casual fans, like us, but how many people have watched him play? You know what I mean? So like, then that's what you said. As the draft gets closer, we'll talk more about these guys. But I think if you're the Blazers, how about this? I'll give you a hypothetical. Do you think there's any chance we trade one of those picks?
Yeah, I really think there's a chance like you do package both of them. I think you could package both of them and move up into the three or four if there's a guy that you are 100% in on. I mean, I think like GMs have egos, scouts have egos. Like, look at what Sean Payton just did with the Broncos. Like, he was acting like he took Bo Nix much higher than Bo Nix probably should have gone, but it's because like he believes in Bo Nix so much that he almost wants to prove it. Like, I'll still take him here and he'll be this good. So like, I think that could be a case. Like, we're so in on Reese Auchere. We're so in on Cody Williams. Cause like, I think Cody Williams is a guy that could rise through the draft process with his measurables and stuff like that. I think you could see us move to like three or four and like, we're getting our guy and we're just going to hype him up so much. That could be a possibility. I don't see a world where you move seven, but not 14. I think if you're going to move only one pick, it's like you move 14, Maybe you move 14 and Jeremy. Maybe you move 14 and Anfernee. Like,
yeah.
Who knows? I think, like,
again,
maybe move 14 with Brogdon. Who knows?
Yeah, again, I just the thing I'd say about 7 and 14 packaging them is, again, like, is the value of picking third that much better than 7 if you don't have your guy, like you said? Like, that's the thing.
I'm not saying it's going to be a straight up necessarily. Like, who knows? You could be working with Houston, fair, and you go get also Tyrese, and I don't know. That could be completely crazy, just, but there's a lot of options, I feel like.
I do think that the Blazers will keep 7. I think 14 is interesting. We also have 2 seconds.
Maybe you move Ant and 14 for 3 with Houston. Houston would like a guy like Ant, maybe. Maybe you move Jeremy to, is there anybody in the top 4 that's looking to win? Probably not.
Would you trade like Anfernee and 14 to San Antonio for 4 and something?
Probably. That's enough.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if option. I want to have to go against Simons and Wimby.
I mean, sure, but like, I think there's a lot of options you could go trade wise.
Because
I do think, like you said, this is a draft where there isn't a necessary straight up blueprint that we know teams are going to go. Like,
right. I mean, like you said, it's SAR, and then it's SAR than the field. It's really SAR than the field. And there's just so many, like, the unfortunate part about this draft, at least in my research, is every time I see a mock draft and I look at who the Blazers are taking, the first thing when I see that name is, yeah, but he, like, it's not like, ooh, I'm excited about him. It's all, it's like the downsides of him. It's like Klingon, for example. Yeah, he's great, but like, we have Ayton and Klingon can't shoot. Or, you know, we take Ron Holland. It's like, yeah, like Ron Holland athletic, but Ron Holland can't shoot. You know, it's like, I don't know. There's just, yeah, there's no home run. I think Sar is, I don't even know if Sar, like, Sar's not going to be the best player coming out of this class.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
He won't be. And I mean, look back, when you do a redraft, it's going to be someone random. So that's the hard thing. So you can either look at it this way. You can be like, bad draft. It's nice we have 2 lottery picks. We get 2 swings. Or you look at it like, again, like, do the Blazers trade 7 and 14 for like more like pieces that are actually in the NBA and like are proven commodities?
Never know.
Because maybe Joe Cronin, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Joe Cronin's bald head.
Just from a Blazer perspective, was yesterday's lottery an example of Blazers don't get nice things, or is that an overreaction and it's really not that bad?
I think it's an overreaction slightly, because I mean, we went top 3 last year. I mean, that's pretty nice. I know it's not Wimby, but 29 other teams didn't get Wimby.
I mean,
Wimby
last
either.
Year we're talking like Scoot would be a number 1 overall pick in 10 of the last 15 drafts, so.
Right. So, now I think that's an overreaction. I definitely think I can understand where people are coming from, because you're like, man, 21 games for the 7th pick, 100%. I get that. But in terms of the value of where you're picking and the people on the board, like, we're not out of range of anyone other than Sar, which that you had to be 1 for that, I guess. Which, again, we're acting like Sar is this, like,
yeah, who knows? Like, I could, who knows? Like, what if the Hawks trade Trae Young and then they draft Topic 1? Like, Sar's no guarantee at 1.
Yeah, and
I think it's
way,
more like 2021, Topic, where there's a couple guys, or 2022, when it was like Paolo, Jabari Smith, or Chet. Could really be one of the, anybody.
Dude, Topic is just like,
he's 6'6". I think that's the thing that everyone's super
hyped
about.
It's just like, I don't know, man. Like, Luka, like the European point guards, like Luka. But like, after that, in the history of the game, I mean, you have like, I guess, Tony Parker and Manu, but I don't know.
It's hard to know. It's hard to know. There's too many guys coming from like G League or overseas. Like,
yeah,
there's no college stud. There's no stud from college this year. That's,
dude,
like,
what is up with freaking French sports, man? Their soccer team is like insane. Basketball is like, you got Sar, you got Risa Cher, Repair,
obviously
Wimby, obviously
Batum. Kidding.
Bali, like, It's a lot of prospects.
Four-time defense player of the year, Rudy Gobert.
Coming out of France. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Are you... How do I want to say this? Now that we know that Golden State pick is 14, are you, I guess it had to be 14, so this is kind of an irrelevant question. Are you, basically what I'm saying, are you one of the people that was like, I had a little inkling wishing it was a top four pick so we could just get their pick next year and hope they're bad again and hope that we have a chance at flag? Or are you just like, give us the pick now, who cares, it's not that deep?
It's a good question, because I'm going to say I'm fine with it now, because I really do think Golden State is going to try really hard to be good again, give Curry one more team. But then again, you saw the Hawks go to the play-in and get the number one pick. So, I mean, and then the third question is, I mean, is Cooper Flagg like really like that? Because, I mean, again, I've watched him. I've seen people say what he's good at and what he's not good at. And at the end of the day, he's not proven. I know people probably said the same thing about Wemby, but so I could look stupid when Flagg is all NBA in year two, but you know, I'm okay with having the Warriors pick now. Again, it's two lottery picks. It's just, I can kind of sense, like, even like me and you just talking here, like there's not a lot of excitement. Like, it's just
because,
like,
you know, it's because you. There's multiple reasons why I'm not necessarily like jumping for joy like I was last year when we got the third pick. For one, when we got the third pick last year, I was like thinking it was a trade piece, because I was thinking like, oh, this is the piece we need to possibly build a championship roster, championship caliber roster around Dame. Obviously, we didn't do that. So one reason why I'm just like meh this year is because we are going to be bad next year. Like, it's not like this is going to help the foreseeable, like the near future. The second thing is, like, it would be awesome if we knew Scoot was going to be a stud and like these guys are coming in and they're going to have, we're going to build around Scoot. We don't know who that guy is yet. Like, that's a little scary. If Scoot was a dog, it would be totally different, because we would be like, oh, this guy compliments Scoot well, but are we building around Scoot? Are we building around Shaden? Are we building around whoever we pick at seven? We don't know.
I think there is an argument for, we talked about it last time, but even like in a lot of these articles I've read on national podcast, like just kind of getting the pulse of where this offseason is going to go through, like Anthony Simons trade talk is like more than I thought. And I'm not saying I want that to happen necessarily. I'm just saying that Anthony Simons, and we talked about this even last summer, like we talked about the question, like, and Shaden, Scoot, you know, we got, even when we had Dame, we were talking about the four guard conundrum is what we called it. And we thought that the casualty was going to be the third overall pick. And we thought maybe Simons in the future, and we were going to go Dame Sharp again. Like, you really can only have two, because you're not using your resources well if your three of your four best players are, you know, unless you're OKC 2012 with Harden coming off the bench, but that's because they had, guess what, a wing, but they had Kevin Durant. But yeah, you kind of have to, I don't know how to say it, but you have to like redistribute your talent across all five positions. So I think if it's not this summer, I think next summer's like the hard deadline for one of those three guys is, and I really do think it's Simons, because he has the most trade value right now. It can't be Scoot. I mean, you drafted him last freaking year.
Not Scoot. And I'm just going to say, I have no clue what to expect from Sharp. Oh my gosh. It's a little wild how people are talking about Sharp, and the fact, like, when we got the seventh pick, I saw on Twitter, they were like, well, Curry got drafted seventh, and we just drafted Sharp at seventh, so you see how good players can be at seventh. Shaden Sharp, like, we have no clue what he's going to be. He's about to enter his third NBA season, and his best stretch is a 15-game stretch at the end of his rookie season when he was given the keys to the offense. Like, I mean, I would like to expect that, but he can't stay healthy at this point. And, like, we don't know what he is. He's not... If we draft another Shaden Sharp at seven this year, like... I'll be excited, but I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, we have two future All-Stars, because I don't know what Shaden's going to be.
That's true. And maybe I just think, yeah, we talked about it last podcast, if you want to, maybe briefly, but Scoot and Shaden are definitely like the vision of the backcourt from Joe Cronin, at least, because that is hyper athletic. Not that Simons isn't, Simons is too, but Simons is like, not to rag on him, and like, I just think he is not really, he's kind of just a, he's a good combo guard, but I just think Scoot and Shaden in their desired form that we want them to play at is a much better fit. And I also think Simons just nets you the most, but that was going back to you saying like, next season's going to be a wash. It's not going to matter. People aren't going to care. But like, if you like deal some, like if you just make a big move, and again, I don't know, that's what losers do. That's what losers of franchises do.
I think the key is like you, I'm sorry, one of Shaden or Scoot has to prove they're going to be an All-Star. Like, you need that guy. You need the guy to prove himself.
That's the other thing why there's not a lot of excitement, is because like you said, we don't have that guy. And yes, we'll be rooting for, like, first game of the season, I'll be like, I hope Scoot looks better than he did last year when his first freaking touch of a basketball in his NBA career was a turnover off the tip in LA against the Clippers. That was a sign for things to come. Oh my gosh. But yeah, like, I mean, you want, and it's so bad, I want improvement across the roster. Like, okay, let's clap it up for that. It's just, And the other thing why I'm not excited is because, like, we already know whoever we pick at seven is not going to be this day one, just turn the franchise around type thing that we want, because we want to be good. So I'm sorry for everyone listening to the podcast if we don't sound super excited. I know you're not excited either, but I don't know. There's just like a million ways we can go and not a lot of avenues to really improve the team right now. It's weird because we have two lottery picks, but we're just going to have to hope that Cody Williams is his brother.
Literally. I honestly don't think there's much else to discuss when it comes to the lottery. When it comes to the Blazers, I also don't think there's that much to discuss. I mean, it's unfortunate because last summer, pre-draft, was about as fun and about as interesting of a summer as it was for Blazer fans.
Massive letdown.
Post-lottery, going into the draft, oh my gosh, you can go back and look at our videos. Are we going to get Embiid? Are we going to get Jaylen Brown? Are we going to get Zion? Are we going to get insert all-star here? That's who we were looking for, OG and Pascal. It's not going to be the case this year. We know what we're going to look like next season. I think at this point, what you are rooting for is... I think you're just rooting for, I don't want to call it the bare minimum, but you're rooting just for the obvious smart decision. And that is, get players that fit positionally. Get a wing. Get a wing that you can say, this guy has a chance to be our starting three for the next 10 years. If you don't come out of this draft with that guy, the offseason sucks. Like, I'm sorry. Sorry, I can't.
I agree with you 100% there. I mean, we've said it at the top, and it's just positional fit at this point. And yeah, if we draft a guard, I'm just like, can we, like, why can't we be a team that like drafts all forwards? At least that's just interesting. At least the Nets are interesting. We just, I don't know. Guards are more fun to watch for sure, but
we've got them.
We've got them. I don't know. I really, if I was to give a positive outlook on this team and pitch this team, if you will, compared to the other lottery teams that are the bad lottery teams, not the Golden States and the Atlantas of the world, but like, there, we have the pieces there. I mean, again, we have Scoot, who, I mean, yes, he was bad, but it's not, it can't get worse.
I mean, just to go into what you're saying, like, look at every mock draft I ever read is like, the Blazers have the pieces there. They have a great looking future.
Yeah,
it's literally, it's like, it's on paper.
Simons Grant, Ayton, I mean, those are all viable NBA players. Like, this isn't like the Charlotte Hornets, who
we've got a bunch of guys that could be the guy, but we don't have that guy.
Exactly. And I have a hunch this draft is going to be like a role player draft. Like, Reed Shepard's going to go 3 and he's just going to be a good 6 man. like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to be smart. You have to pick positionally, like we keep saying, because like that's the hope that you can sell fans if you're Joe Cronin, like, oh, we are taking 2 swings at a starting 3. And it's weird because like day 1, we're like our 7th pick, like Kamara is going to probably start over him.
Yeah.
Kamara's great, but if Kamara could literally shoot a little bit, he'd be the starting 3. Great defender. But like Chris Murray, like you said,
don't start on Chris. Dude, I don't like Chris.
I don't know about Chris.
Repaired, no offense to Chris, but
I mean, we still have Brogdon, Time Lord. Like, there are pieces, and of course, as fans, we overinflate. We inflate our players' values for sure. Like, I'm sure Brogdon.
I'm sure Brogdon probably
doesn't have a ton of value in the
Jack
league. But,
now. Yeah. I unfortunately feel like we're going to look back at the Dame trade in about a year, and it's going to be not as good as we thought it was. I will say, though, Joe Cronin cooked with the Ayton and Kamara for Nurk and Nas pretty much straight up. I know it's technically a part of the Dame trade, but pretty much with what each team got, you're taking Kamara over Nas and you're taking Ayton over Nurk. So got to give props for Joe there.
Nurk has like what? The worst percentage?
Worst playoff winning percentage of all time, because he was 3-17. He got swept this year. He got swept against the Warriors in like 2016. He got swept against the Pelicans. That's 12 losses already. He lost six to the Nuggets. So that's 2 of his wins.
And then in the bubble, we lost in 5 to the Lakers.
That's what it was. Yeah, in the bubble, we lost in 5 to the Lakers.
Because he wasn't a part of the 19 run. That's wild.
And then he wasn't a part of when we played the Warriors a different year, too. And he wasn't part of when we beat the Clippers. Because he was still on the Nuggets. That's all I got. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah, that's all I got for now. I think when we talk next, we should talk about less about the draft and more about what our goals are, what the organization's goals should be. Maybe we can talk more playoffs, like actual playoffs next time, too.
Dude, rebuilding's tough.
Is tough because, you gotta, like you said, you gotta get that guy. Got to get that guy.
But 2 lottery picks is nothing to snooze at. It's definitely a positive for the Blazers. So I there's going to be a lot to talk about still going into the draft. The draft should be great. I think we also have 2 second-round picks. Draft night will be fun. That is, of course, if we still have our picks. Who knows what Joe is cooking as he goes on his daily walks. I don't even want to bring that up. That was just a joke, just from the lottery, or not the lottery, the draft last year. But that's all we got. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next podcast. Peace.